Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
We know he's old in age, and people, as they get older, they get set in their ways. And, Lord, it's not our desire to offend anyone. And we ask, Lord, that you can help us. Help us to honour one another, respect each other. That's the thing. That's what's important. Not what one wants, or this one wants, or I want, or anything. It's respecting each other. We're a body. And a body needs to function together. And one is a hand, and one is an arm, and one is a leg, one is a mouth. And help us to look after each other, respect each other. And I just pray, Lord, that as we do that, we can... You can breathe your breath of life upon us, Lord, that we would function as the body of Christ here in Brophield, Hemel Hempstead. Amen. So, here's a question for you all. What honestly does Christmas mean to you? Yes? May I give you some suggestions? Are you excited about the presents? David's brought a load of presents in. Are we all?
They're all for me.
They're all for you. And we brought some presents over there. You know, is that what Christmas is about?
No.
Is it about all the food?
No.
I've had four or five Christmas dinners already. And to be honest, I'm not looking forward to another one. Is it about the decorations?
No.
Or is it about the entertainment? Are you looking forward to seeing what's on TV? The movies? Okay, I watched a little bit of Porridge. Ronnie Barker. Playing football. And there was the Great Escape. You know, I saw Shaun the Sheep. I like Shaun the Sheep. Do you, Jezreel? I love it. I like Wallace and Gromit, Shaun the Sheep, and I like all of that. But is that what Christmas is about?
Yes. Well, I like the Muppet Christmas Carol. It's very funny, yeah. Muppet Christmas Carol.
It is, Liam. But there are things that go on this time of year. We love it. We do love it. I like to pull a Christmas cracker. I like to read the joke and put the hat on my head or whatever and have a little present. I do. I like me trifle. Last Sunday evening was a fantastic service.
Yes.
I like our Christmas service. But is that what it's all about? The razzmatazz, the glitz and the glamour and all of that? Not, is it?
And we also like the Christmas party.
Perhaps you've saved money throughout the year.
Yes.
Hold on, Liam. Perhaps you've saved money and you're looking forward to the sales. Maybe that's what you look forward to this time of year, because a lot of people do. You watch the news on Boxing Day morning and you will see people queuing up outside H&M in Oxford Street, ready to buy their new coats. That's what Christmas is to them, getting the bargain. Well, one thing Christmas is about, and that is family coming together. If you want to enjoy a great party, go to Dominic's house on Boxing Day evening. Yes, Dom? Can we all come?
Yeah, I think we're going out, though.
It's his mum's birthday, so they have a double whammy, don't you? It's exciting. Some people, they get their Christmas cards, they put them up around the room, and they count how many they got. And they say, oh, I've got 50 Christmas cards. Makes them happy because it makes them feel very popular and people like them. Maybe you do that. That's what other people might do. And I've been thinking about this Christmas. I might have touched on this a bit last week. Oh, a good 90% of the British public do these very things. That is what Christmas is to them. And it is drummed into them. Are you hanging up your stockings on the wall? We grew up with that, didn't we, Mick, David? Sorry, they didn't. That was slave. You didn't have that in the Philippines. But we grew up with it, you know. Oh, I wish it could be Christmas every day. Remember that one? It's drummed into people. But do you, like me, you want to hear the same old nativity story? Is that you today? Because that's me. As a believer, I want to know about the old story, the nativity story, the prophesied promise of Genesis chapter 3 verse 15.
You can't even go to Bethlehem at the moment.
You can't even go to Bethlehem, said Dominic. Micah 5:2, is that not right?
Well, the Hamas, there's no Christmas celebrations in Bethlehem.
Well, people don't want a rocket on their head, Dominic. That's why. What about the babe in the manger? Or the no room in the inn? Or the taxing? That journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, the place of the birth. What about the angels? The visitations? There'd been 400 years of silence. There was no prophet in the land since Malachi. 400 years. And then suddenly, within a 2-year period, there are 4 visitations from the angel Gabriel and the angel of the Lord.
Mm.
You know, we examine these things. It's fascinating. Then there's the visit of the wise men. There's the insecurities of Herod. So much going on. But this year, and I said it last Sunday night, there's a couple of things that caught my eye. And that is that in this Christmas story, everybody is struggling. Everyone. I mentioned it to you Sunday evening. But today there is a fascination that has caught my eye. If you turn to chapter 2, and I'll focus on this verse and we'll go backwards and forwards a little bit. And chapter 2, verse 19 says this, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's my question today. Why did she do this? Why did she ponder these things in her heart? Well, the angel Gabriel, I'm not going to read every verse that we have because we will be here all afternoon. And so much was said about her. The angel visiting her, the angel told her that she was highly favoured, didn't she? Didn't he? There was so much going on. And I'm fascinated about the whole thing. And she pondered these things in her heart. And the question, really, and I might as well say it now because I'm going to say it in the conclusion. What do you ponder in your heart? That is a fascinating question to ask. What are we contemplating about this Christmas message? What has gripped us? What has fascinated us? Or do we let it all go over our head and look forward to our next pigs in a blanket, you know, or our next Christmas dinner? So it made me think, well, who's the writer? Who has written this? Who has recorded what Mary said, what Mary done? It's Luke, Dr. Luke. So that's why, when I did my Bible reading, I read from the beginning of chapter 1. And I'll repeat it if you don't mind. And it says this. This is Dr. Luke. I call him Dr. Luke because he was a physician. And not many people do call him Dr. Luke. But he deserves that title. He says this. Chapter 1, verse 1-4. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth, and listen to the words, for as many has taken, many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Luke says this about himself: it seemed good to me also. His Monday's on the blow up. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So here is, from the outset, Dr. Luke is recording all of the events. And the first thing, and I was hoping Margie would be here, I know Jan's gone away, but it's kind of like teaching session today, because it's good to have this background knowledge. Luke, we know, was a historian and a doctor. And he says in that little passage, he says that he himself was not an eyewitness. He didn't say that, but he does say that other people were. And they were believers, and they handed it down. And he is one of these people that hung on to these very words of other eyewitnesses, you know. And in this case, who were the eyewitnesses? Well, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, according to this passage that we're focusing on. You know, they were eyewitnesses, and it will unfold as the message goes on. And it seems that Luke, if you go to Acts, it seems as if, because Luke wrote Acts, and he wrote Luke, and this chap called Theophilus, it seems as if he was a noble character, and he commissioned Luke to find out the facts. So, these four verses in chapter 1, they kind of seem like a preface to the whole book, or the whole gospel of Luke. So we notice in verse 1, I'll read it again. For as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. He's telling us that many people wrote about the life and times of Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. And we know from our own Bibles, each of us, there are four gospel accounts, right? But none of them, apart from Luke's, is in a chronological order. Have you ever noticed that? The book of Luke, what he's trying to do as a historian is put things in their right order. Mark's not like that. Matthew's not like that. John's definitely different, isn't it? But that is what he has tried to do. Set in order. He says he wants to set in order, you know, the things that unfolded to do with Jesus Christ. I like Luke. Say about what? Sorry. What Luke says about himself, he says, and I find this interesting. Verse 3, it seems good to me also, having had perfect of all things, perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order. You know that? I'm gobsmacked. I'm challenged. After all these years of Christian, Luke is telling us, I've never seen this before, that he had perfect understanding of all these things from the very first. So, you know, when he heard this message about Jesus Christ, he was not disbelieving, and he took it on board to find out all the facts, everything. He didn't want to be ignorant. He didn't want to be naive. He didn't want things to go over his head. He wanted himself, Dr. Luke, to know everything. I'm challenged by that. And I want to take it upon myself to follow his example. You know, the word perfect means perfect. It doesn't mean to fall short. It means to know the facts. And that is what we want to do. And here we are, you know, and I mentioned it last week, the danger of the nativity is that as men and women and Christians at that, we want to be mature, we've got to look past what the world tries to portray the nativity as a fairy tale story. And by doing that, the whole account of the Son of God being born into this world is diminished. Mm. And Dr. Luke, no, not with him, it's like we raise it up, the great incarnation of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. You know, we should give our whole hearts to it, that we ourselves gain a perfect understanding of these things. It's incredible because he wasn't a Jew and he wasn't an apostle, but God used him. Maybe he didn't realise when he started investigating and he started gleaning and gathering information from various places, because as I said, he wasn't there. And I believe, well, he comes into the story of the New Testament at some point. You definitely see him with Paul the Apostle. But at some point, Luke went around interviewing various people. Were you there? Were you there at the Nativity? Were you there when the water was turned into wine? Not that he records anything about that, right? It's in John's Gospel only. But Luke is fascinated with who was there, who saw what, when did it happen? He wrote it down. That's attention to detail. Can you be like that when it comes to your own Christian faith, your own Christian walk with the Lord? You know, one thing Mayette and I marvel about with Liam's mum, she sat over there, didn't she, every time she came. And in the early days, she didn't come every week, did she? Remember, Nika? Yeah, and I remember you asking her, Karen, why don't you come every week? I remember that. When she came, what did she do?
She was doing a notebook.
She got her notebook out.
It was Jeff gave her a notebook when we used to do Bible study.
Is that what happened?
Jeff
saw the importance of Bible study.
No, she was writing on the paper, and then he said, I will get you a notebook, her and
Janet.
Yeah. But it was his mom who continued doing it, her writing. I think for her, it became like education.
Yeah, it did. It helped her tremendously. She got more and more confident, Mayette, I remember. And why I'm saying this, we should be like that. You know, I've been to some special meetings with David, and we heard this.
Just come to say Happy Christmas.
All right,
happy
thank
Christmas.
You very much.
Now.
You what?
I'm going home.
You've got a present over there. I'll drop you off home. I will drop you off home.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll tell Sally then.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. You know, we've been listening to Challen Hetherington. I'm fascinated by his preaching and what he's preaching. So I'm trying to go up a level. So when I'm going up a level, what do? Just sit there? No. I'm writing down what he's saying. If I don't know it, I need to record the facts to help me, you know? And Karen did that. She grew in those last few years, you know, in understanding the gospel better She always asked a question as well, didn't she? This is Dr. Luke. This is why he's a historian. This is why he's a doctor. Because he channeled the right attitudes in study, you know? And I say this, I said, he wasn't an apostle, but God used him. Because he wrote down stuff. Because he recorded stuff. He didn't know that the Holy Spirit was working with him. You know, and now, after all these years, we read Timothy, and it talks about all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So Luke did not know that when he started working and recording these facts, you know, God was working with him. And his gospel account and the book of Acts became scripture. I'm fascinated. Let's remember these things. You know, because what you write, what you teach in Sunday school, you know, God will use you. What sermon you write, you know, God will use you if you put your whole heart into it. He said he had a perfect understanding of these things. That's what I would like. I read that and thought, wow, did I ever see that before? No. You know, but I've seen it now. So if God was working with him, God can work with me if I prepare my heart in a right way, you know? So, I say this verse, he says this, he in verse 13, to write unto thee, that's Theophilus, right? To write unto thee in order. So he's writing an orderly account. So, do you not think that God would like you, I'm kind of repeating myself a little bit, to gain a perfect understanding? I think he would. And of the study of God's word, whether it's in the Nativity or whether it's the whole of the gospel. So he said, he obviously met Mary, he obviously interviewed her, and he realized what Mary did. She pondered these things in her heart. You know, that tells me that as things unfolded, she meditated upon the things that happened. She was constantly thinking about them. And you might say, what things? Well, I say the visit of the angel Gabriel, that she should be the mother of God. The visit to Elizabeth, the excitement of the baby John the Baptist leaping into her womb. You know, she pondered these things. Mary was so full of joy. We know that in Luke's gospel that he records her song, kind of like a song of thanksgiving, her manifesto. I don't want to say manifesto, but she was excited. And time don't allow me to read everything. I was going to read it. But. And what about the shepherds? You know, Nika and you, Maya, you both had children. You've both been in labour. You've both been in hospital. And you're both giving birth to children who we are witnesses of, right? Did you have any visits from anybody when you gave birth? Apart from Joey. You know, Jezreel, do you remember anyone turning up when you were born?
She won't remember.
Jethro?
She won't remember.
Well, was anyone there at your birth, apart from your mum?
Yes.
Who?
My dad and my brother's dad. Your but dad. They didn't care about me. Or my brother's dad.
Oh.
So they walked out on us.
Well, that's shame on them, Liam.
Yeah.
Because you're a lovely man, aren't you?
Yes.
And we love you.
Yes.
Shame on them.
Yeah.
All right.
So they didn't share one tie.
But you don't remember that, do you?
But I do, John. they didn't share one tear from their eye when I've been having my unwrapped firewood.
Liam, I'm pulling your leg a little bit.
No.
All right.
John.
But we understand, don't
but
worry.
When
we
I've
understand.
Been having unwrapped firewood,
well, you
when
right
I came
me.
Out,
okay.
My mum.
Let me continue.
No,
we
it's.
All right. So, the shepherds turn up. That's the point I'm getting to.
Yeah,
who
but my mum
was
upset with my dad.
Who came to the birth?
Jesus.
The shepherds.
Yeah.
The shepherds came.
Still, my dad...
Don't worry. Sermon continues, yeah. All right? The shepherds came. Now, if you are the mum of this baby and the shepherds turn up, I mean, it's unusual, isn't it? We don't know how many shepherds there were, half a dozen or three or what, but they came. And if you're the mum, you would ponder these things in your heart.
Mm.
And whatever they said, you would ponder that in your heart also. So they came because the angel preached to them. The angel of the Lord preached to the shepherds. They were minding their own business.
Mm.
But they came to visit her to see whether these things were so. They were keeping watch over their flocks. They were looking after their flocks. And it seems that while they were watching, I find this fascinating also, they were watching over their flocks, but was someone watching them?
The angels.
They were going about their business. They were looking after their little lambs, and they were conversing with one another, but all the while, the angel of the Lord was watching them.
Hmm.
That fascinates me, because I realise, by thinking about these things, somewhere in Scripture, you may be able to pick it up, Dominic, there's a verse somewhere that says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. You remember that verse, Dom?
Yeah.
Somewhere in Scripture, and there we go. The angels are watching us go about our business, or even the Lord's business. They're encamping around us.
So, Brother Jen, actually those shepherds, they didn't think about the flock. They just went after the angels revealed unto them about the Savior. Because I think the shepherds, they would think, oh, if the angels are watching us, I'm sure they will look after the flock. So, let's go, gone. And then they went to...
You're right. You're not wrong. Because they left... You know the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one? They left a lot. Maybe they took one with them. You know, but you're right. Because they had seen the angel of the Lord and the whole host singing glory to God in the highest. And they were told by the angel to go to Bethlehem and see this great sight. And maybe I'll quote a couple of verses to you in a minute. But you're definitely right. So the angels are watching over them, and as I said, angels are watching over us. And we do not know who is putting thoughts into our head, who is whispering into our ear occasionally. You know, and I said this before many a time, but when I had my accident, and I was unconscious under my truck, somebody spoke to me. Someone talked to me. Could have been an angel. It could have been the Holy Spirit within my heart. But someone spoke to me, said, you haven't got long here. Someone told me, and I was unconscious. So we do not know when they're going to speak, when God's going to speak like that in a desperate situation. And what did they do? Going back to what Nika just said, chapter 2, verse 15. After the angels left, and it says here, verse 15, chapter 2, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. So, you know, sometimes in conversation we talk to each other. You know, I've been talking to David occasionally about theology. And one thing I haven't put in place is what they say here. And that is, I'll just go back to this. Let us go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Now, you know, the Lord could be speaking to you about something, about your understanding of theology. And we should think it through. This is interesting, that I should meet this particular, like me and myself, right? We went to the Isle of Wight, we met Phil and Rachel, and our hearts were knitted together, weren't they? And the Lord brought that about. So, you know, we meet Chalum Hetherington, we listen to him, and we think, the Lord brought this together, you know? We should be not ignorant of various people that we interact with, because the Lord wants us to know certain things we never knew before, you know? So verse 15 and verse 16. End of verse 15, which the Lord has made known unto us, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, I'll stop there. The angel spoke, they obeyed, and the key word here that I'm going to say is, they went with haste. That is an important word. That we as believers, that when we go about God's business, should we be casual, chilled, and chill out? Jeff, is that about a song? Let's rock it up a little bit and chill, you know. You know, is that the right attitude? It's not. God wants those that will listen to him. And God wants those that will obey him. And God wants those that will go in haste. They will take what they hear seriously and go with it. Because if we are half-hearted or ignorant or lukewarm, we will miss it. We will miss it. And, you know, we don't want to miss the things of God, do we? You know, we're living in the end times. And me and Nick Chipper, I'm sitting here before you all came, we have a little Bible study. And when Margie's here, it's good. It's like a Sunday school for adults. You know, here we have, look, the end times made simple. Why is it made simple? Why did I take this off the shelf at the tabernacle? Shall I tell you, Jack, right? Because I'm simple. I'm simple. And I want things, I need things to be told in a very easy way to me so that I can learn quickly, understand quickly. If the end times are mixed, yeah, we're living in the end times, aren't we? What you said earlier?
Yeah.
If we're living in the end times, how important is time? The minutes that tick by, the hours that pass by, do we just throw them away randomly? Time is precious. Redeem the time because the days are evil. That's what it says. Redeem the time because the days are evil. And we need to make the most of time. So therefore, how important is it to us to act in haste for the Lord? Yeah? The sermon message is reflections on the nativity. Okay? So, they said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, because they wanted to see the facts for themselves. They were eyewitnesses. When they saw what they saw, they were able, and God provided this for them to testify that these things were so. Okay? They went with haste because they believed the Lord revealed it to them, and we saw that in the verse. My question before I move on to my final point is, will you go in haste today when you go home, when you leave this service? Will you go with haste to what God would reveal to you. Now, what else? Third point. What else did Mary ponder? Well, and when they had seen it, the child, when they, it says it in the scripture, when they had seen it, they made known abroad, this is verse 17, I think. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They were evangelists. Whoever they met, they told the people, we just seen the Saviour of the world. We just seen the Saviour. A babe lying in the manger, where the sheep and the camels are, and etc., etc., etc. They made the, and the people, I think it says, verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 19, this is Luke's recording, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Is that what we do? If we would do that, you will grow in the Lord. You will grow in your own Christian walk. It's the end of 2023, and only you know how mature you are in the Word of God. Only you know. You know, or only you know how, what's that word when you can't read and write?
Illiterate.
Only you know how illiterate you are with God's Word. I pick up on some things, and I think Paul says it somewhere in his writings. We compare ourselves with ourselves. That's what we do. You know, that person don't know much about the scriptures. Well, what? I've got to judge myself. Some people, like Phil, he's been a Christian a little bit less than me, but he's moved on far more than I have. I don't like that. I'm not happy with that. That this man has grown in the Word of God, and I've left myself behind. It's not his fault, it's my fault for not taking the Word of God seriously and not believing that the Lord has wanted to reveal things to me. I haven't acted in haste enough. Do you understand me? Let's move on. These shepherds, what can we say about these shepherds? I'm going to say this to you. They are great examples to all of us, right? And that is that they were faithful. When they heard the message preached to them by the angel preached to them, this day, I don't know how angels speak, this day is born unto you a son, and you will find him in a manger, lying in a manger with swaddling clothes. You know, that was give us a clue. So that they knew it was the right son. Yes? What did they were faithful. Like Nika said, the sheep were their livelihood, Nika. But every one of them sheep were worth money. And they didn't raise them, those sheep for nothing. They wanted to make a living, didn't they?
They normally been protected in the evening because the lion and they do come out.
Yeah. You might be right, Mia. They put them in an enclosure. Good point. They were in an enclosure, protected from the wolves and the lions and the bears. That's a very good point, Mayor. So they knew they were safe. That's a good one. But they put them on hold, what you said. They went to see this sign. So they took a risk. But like you said, the angels were looking over. Now, three points that happened. They heard the message from the angels who preached to them. One point. What did they do? They heeded the message, right? They took it on board. Second point. The third point, they heralded the message. They went out and told other people about it. They did those three things, and they are accounted as special shepherds. They did what God would have wanted them to do. And they took the message to other people. You just go back to verse 10 and 11. And I just read this, 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you, this is the message. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And that's our message. If it's their message, it's our message. And if we're going to go out and evangelise, there's the sermon. That's the title to the sermon. And I have to say this, because I started the sermon by saying, what is Christmas? What does Christmas mean to you? So this is the true meaning of Christmas. This is what we believe and hold dear to our hearts for Christmas. And that message is number 3 points. The message was of a virgin born baby, Isaiah 7:14. That's number one. And the second one is that the message was of a promise fulfilled, Genesis 3:15. You know, we all believe in creation, don't we? You know, they say, it's sad, really sad, the world, the number one like character for this world, this year, do you know who that character is? David Attenborough. So, you know, whether it's this country or the whole world, but the people nominate David Attenborough as being the go-to man to tell you the facts you need to know. Is he your go-to man?
No.
How old does he think the earth is?
Billions.
Billions.
I go into the youth centre. They educate children. And on Friday, I think it was, I looked at this timeline, the history of the earth. And they've got pictures of dinosaurs, you know, when they were brought on the earth. Jethro will tell you, you know, he read the books. We remember Jethro when he was just a little boy. Little boy carrying his dinosaur book around with him everywhere he went. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Can you tell us how old the earth is?
From the books.
No. Well, they say it's like 500 million years old or whatever.
6 billion.
Is that right, Steve? Yeah. Who was there?
No one.
Who was there? So we go back to Genesis, and we're all in believing that it's God created the heavens and the earth in how many days?
Six days.
7 days he rested. And Peter says this, to the Lord, a day is but 1,000 years. And a 1,000 years is like 1 day to him. So you can get yourself a Bible, a good old-fashioned Scofield study Bible. Some of them record the years in which things happen in the Bible. For example, Genesis, Scofield says, Dominic will tell you, he gave me one of them Bibles once. Do you remember? That Genesis, if we go with the AD and BC, is 6,000 years ago. Wow, that's incredible. So from now, going back to the time of the birth of Jesus, is like 2,000 years. People take 20 years, right? So if he was born, like they say, 5 BC, something like that. Right now, 2,000 years ago, Jesus would be about 25 years of age. Are we in agreement there, or would you say amen? If we went back 2,000 years, if Jesus was born, say, 5 BC or 4 BC, then it's 2023.
Yeah.
So from the year 00 or 2023 plus 28 years of age, roughly speaking, 2,000 years ago, this year, now, Jesus would have been about 27, 28 years of age. Do you understand me now?
I don't understand.
Steve gets it. If Jesus was born 5 BC, that's what people, scholars, theologians, that's what they say. If we study their writings, you went back in time 2,000 years, it will be 23 AD. Yes? So therefore, Jesus, if he was born in 5 BC, 5 plus 23 is 28. So about now, 2,000 years ago, he would have been 28 years of age. Do you get what I'm saying? Oh, but yeah, we'll talk about
kind
it.
Kind of, but the things are, I would reckon it's more like one. I would reckon.
Sorry, Steve. What, Bob?
I would reckon it's more one BC or what, like one AD or roughly around those.
Are you talking about his birth?
Yeah, because you have. Christ was born 150 years under Cyrenius. Therefore, from his birth of Christ to the death of Cominius, a total of 194 years, 1 month, and 13 days. These are those who have calculated not only the year of our Lord's birth, but it's also the day. But this is from Clement of Alexandria, 195 AD, and you have Justin Martyr, who's kind of. So they can.
They say one BC or one AD.
So that'd be like one AD. So if you kind of work it out,
if it was one AD, right, 2,000 years ago, he would have been 22 right now. 22. Okay. So forget David Attenborough. We're talking about biblical truth. So the earth is about, or the mankind, Adam and Eve. About 6,000 years old. That's how it is. So we're saying Genesis chapter 1, the earth was created 6,000 years ago.
And I found Genesis 3:16.
3:15.
No, 3.
We don't want to read that, Dom. We don't want to read it. And not Dom. Liam, we don't want to read it right now because it will confuse us.
About dinosaur time and everything. It's not
millions
or billion years.
It's not millions, but billions. Is that what you're saying?
No. Obviously, according to Attenborough, these dinosaurs, blah blah blah, are billion years old. But on the creation ministry, it's not.
No, I know.
It's according from the Genesis, from the time of creation. So, if people want to understand more about this and the archaeological side, they can look into the Creation Ministry website.
Yeah.
And also about this evolution. It's not about all evolution. So it's really a good, ministry.
The last thing any of us want, I'm serious here, look at us, we're a family. We are a Christian family, and the last thing any of us want is to know that one of us didn't make it to heaven to be with Jesus. That you should fall short and go to hell because you believe the pack of lies that Mr. Attenborough and co. have preached.
To the whole world, really. The 3 years old, that's the book that we read to the children.
Is it? So the message they preach, and our message, is of a virgin born baby, Isaiah 7:14. It's a promise fulfilled. Liam, it's Genesis 3:15, not 3:16. And the message is of a prophesied saviour that is born, okay? Isaiah 9:16. So I conclude, and the conclusion is he your saviour today? I put that in because there's a couple of ladies that like to come here and they're not here today. I wanted them to hear that, okay? Remember, I said to you that Mary pondered these things in her heart. Luke 2:19. So before we conclude and finish, what do you ponder in your heart regarding the Saviour born in Bethlehem? Only you know. Only you know the answer to that question. What do you ponder in your heart if you ponder anything about Jesus Christ and his birth? Let's close in prayer. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this message. We thank you for our Saviour born in that Bethlehem stable. We thank you for the shepherds that were obedient, that heard the message, that went out and heeded the message, and went out and heralded the message. We just pray, Lord. I pray for our flock today that we would do likewise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's join Jethro and sing our last carol.
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.